Welcome to the No Film School podcast. This is Gigi Hawkins, and today I speak with Francesca Silvestri, producer of the upcoming film Suncoast, as well as writer-director Laura Chin, writer and director of the upcoming film Suncoast. This film is from Searchlight Pictures, and it had its world premiere at the 2024 Sundance Film Festival opening weekend and is streaming exclusively on Hulu beginning today, February 9th, 2024. Inspired by the semi-autobiographical story of a teenager played by Nico Parker, who, while caring for her brother along with her audacious mother, played by Laura Linney, strikes up an unlikely friendship with an eccentric activist, played by Woody Harrelson, who is protesting one of the most landmark medical cases of all time. The film follows this sort of teenager coming-of-age dynamic and features this bomb cast of funny teenagers, including this incredible dark horse, Ariel Martin, who plays Megan Kaminsky, though she does have, I guess, 30 million TikTok followers. But what's really interesting about this conversation in particular is we got to talk about the producer-director dynamic. And Francesca is an icon. She produced Tangerine, The Florida Project. I mean, she is one of the original people that I think of when it comes to film in Florida and that part of the country. And the chemistry between them is undeniable. So now my conversation with Laura Chin and Francesca Silvestri.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the No Film School podcast. Thank you so much for joining us to kick off. So our listeners understand who you are and your voices. Can you introduce yourself and tell us your role on the film?
You go first.
My name is Francesca Silvestri, and I am one of the producers of my role.
My name is Laura Chin, and I wrote and directed the film.
Congratulations on premiering here at Sundance. We often talk to filmmakers who are sort of putting their film out into the world for the first time, but this is a film that's going to be out to the rest of the world very soon. Yes. So how does it feel to have this sort of consolidated time frame of releasing the film and then wide release of the film?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously, you know, the nerve-wracking element is like, oh, I want to make sure we have time to get the word out. I want people to know. I want people to watch the film. I want, you know, sharing the story is like, the goal at the end of all of it. But then also just, you know, kind of exciting knowing that, you know, Sundance obviously has such so many eyes on it. And hopefully, you know, this launch will allow us to just sail right into people's homes.
Yeah, right into your living room. And from a producer standpoint, how is this different from other films that you've released?
Well, we got to make this movie with Searchlight. And so they, obviously being such a premier distributor and having made so many films that we love, and to be a part of that pantheon of films, it's so nice to be able to come to the festival and have an idea about a release strategy, and they're putting it into 10 markets and they're putting it then on Hulu. And so that's been different than coming and having to, you know, try to sell a film here. So that's been really nice.
One of the things we get to do at Sundance as the No Film School podcast is Rarer, which is bringing together directors and producers to talk about making the film together. How did you two meet? What was your meet cute?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm so in love with her. It's truly a problem. I feel so deeply fortunate to have, I mean, this is my first experience. And when I talk about it to other filmmakers, they're enraged. Because truly, because they're like, oh, they talk about the psychotic producers who tried to take the movie away. They talk about, you know, all these horror stories. And I'm just like, oh, I am obsessed with the producers. I'm obsessed with Francesca. I had a friend say that these producers wanted to sit in the edit with me. And I was like, oh, how fun.
Yeah.
And he was like, not fun. And I was like, oh, but we're all a family, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, she's been just tremendously just a creative partner every step of the way, every day, all day long, in any way, you know, from the big stuff of who do we attach to this film to the small stuff of extras didn't show up. I'm going to go hit the streets and bring strangers in today until we have enough extras, like anything. So, and never taking no for an answer, teaching me to never take no for an answer. I'm obsessed with her. But how we met, what was the initial thing? It was Jeremy Plager.
Mm-hmm.
It was the script. I mean, really, you know, because people have asked, you know, all weekend, how did this thing get made? And it really was the script, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, it's a weird thing because I don't believe like writing is coming from me. It's sort of this weird magical spiritual experience. So mm-hmm. the script, however the script was able to come together in a way to get people's attention, you know, mm-hmm. I'm so eternally grateful for, because that was the kernel. That was how they had interest in the movie, because they've produced Florida Project and,
right.
you know, Tangerine, and they've been in this like indie world for so long, and their taste is so good and they're so picky and discerning. And so, yeah, I mean, the script is what made them want to help me.
Yeah.
That is true. I would just like to gush about Laura Chen, who I have said, I've been doing this a very long time. And this was the most, I mean, obviously we fell in love with the writing and the script. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was everything. I read it and I was like, this is incredible. We have to do whatever we can to, you know, in any way to help this movie come to be. And then I met Laura Chen and I was like, I think I have a crush on Laura. I'm like, I think I'm in. Oh my God, I'm in love with this person. This person has changed my life in every way. And one of the amazing ways, first of all, she is brilliant and tireless and brilliant and kind and compassionate and open and loving and inclusive. And I mean, just the most incredible person and filmmaker. And it was such a joy from start to finish. And I said to her many times that she has changed producing for me, and that I will never work with the type of person that I've had to work with again. I mean, I've worked with so many incredible people. Obviously, Sean Baker is somebody that I love and adore. And, you know, but there are so many people that have come into my life as a producer and that I will never work with again, because after this experience, mm-hmm. because someone that is so brilliant, but is so such an incredible human. And so I'm so excited for this launch and her career and everything ahead. And anyway, I couldn't love her more. So
that's amazing.
I'd love to. Sorry.
No, this is.
Hey, I'll listen to this all day long.
This is great, especially because I've been off mic hearing the, yeah, it's strange to be in the same room as this producer now. And so this is the opposite.
No, I know. It is a thing. And Laura Linney and I have been talking about it for mm-hmm. the past 2 days in these interviews. Is Laura's like, it's so easy to talk about a movie when you genuinely love the experience, when you genuinely love the people involved. Mm-hmm. You don't have to dig deep for a kernel of goodness, you know, that you can talk about. And, you know, but I feel very, very fortunate.
I'd love to talk about a specific instance where Laura shined as a director, as like a humankind director, where maybe in the past you've seen bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot on the podcast about creating like a healthy culture on set,
Amen.
Especially in, you know, obviously you had Searchlight backing you, but indie films in the past, like it's so easy for things to devolve into a pretty like toxic and unhealthy space. So I'd love to talk about something that could have spiraled mm-hmm. and because of your leadership and because of your partnership was mm-hmm. turned around in a different direction.
I mean, I can think of something early on when we were in Charleston and Laura had written a scene that takes place on a beach mm-hmm. that was kind of a big scene, you know, important scene. And there was an issue with hatching baby turtles and
the baby turtles of it all.
And also schedule. And we had to condense a lot of things. And we ended up having to work at one location and there was a dock and she had to shoot like four major scenes in one day and change a major location. And there was just, it was really, I think, could have been incredibly stressful and incredibly, she could have, you know, just been like, and the way she handled it, and this is great, and here's how it's going to work, and here's the blessing, and here's, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm just thinking that's such a small thing, but You know, there's so many examples, and I will think more of them as we're
thrilled
going through this interview.
The baby turtles and
oh my god! Well, the lights, the film lights,
yeah.
they disrupt the turtles hatching. So in a beautiful way, Charleston's very protective of these turtles, and I find myself being like, I don't care about the turtles, and I'm like, wait, no, Laura, perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, okay, respectfully, we're not going to film on the beach. We have to pivot. You know, but yeah.
Well, let's talk about filming. So where did you? I actually wasn't aware that you filmed also in Charleston, but. Also,
yeah, so we
in
filmed
Florida?
For a few days in Florida, but there was no tax credit in Florida, so we had to film the majority of the movie in Charleston, which was very heartbreaking. Francesca's like a Floridian,
yeah,
you know, I'm a Floridian, and it's so uniquely beautiful. The sunsets, the colors, the dolphin mailboxes. I mean, there's so, you know, you can't find this like very unique specificity anywhere else. But we had an amazing location manager. I feel like she's from Florida as well, Stacey,
had done the Florida project with us and is wonderful and.
So she knew exactly what to look for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was scouring Charleston for anything Floridian, you know, and we ended up filming in a house that was so, so Floridian. And she said that the homeowners told her, yeah, it was a traditional brick Charleston house. And they tore that down and they built a house to look more like Florida because they were from Florida.
Oh.
You know, so Stacey found that house, the one house in Charleston that they wanted to look like Florida. So we worked really hard to try to make it feel like Florida in ways.
Well, the specificity shines through in you know the setting in the world, but also you are creating it's a period piece. It takes place in the aughts, the early aughts.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to talk about creating that world and sort of tapping into that nostalgia without overdoing it.
Yeah.
And also how to get the teenagers that you are working with in this ensemble to be true to that world and still feel like relatable to today.
Yeah, no, I mean it was interesting needle to thread because, you know, the 2000s in my opinion were not inherently so cool. You know, like I think like the 70s were cool, you know.
Yeah.
But the aughts there was like a cheese factor to them.
Oh my god.
You know,
yeah.
The clothes and the bedazzled jeans, and so with our costume designer, it was that line of how do we make people look like they're in the aughts, but we wanted it to be the aughts as a memory.
Yeah.
And we want to watch the movie and go, oh, the aughts were actually very cool. Mm. And it's no, they weren't. But we tricked you, you know?
Yeah.
And so the costume designer wanted the costumes to be like authentic, but also still cool, you know?
Yeah.
And same with the production designer. And, you know, we had the old cell phones and the old TVs and the old computers. And it was all, you know, in there, but we didn't want to do like inserts of everything. We didn't want to beat people over the head
like
with
lean
it.
On it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It was so specific. I mean, from having the Laguna Beach on there, I was like, you brought me right back to this very specific
right?
time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So let's talk about specifically working with these teenagers, or I'm sure they're probably older than, but they're playing teenagers.
Well, our lead was a teen.
Our lead was 17 and Ella Anderson was 17. Mm. Yeah. So they were all under the age of 21, I think. They were all very young. And no, but they all were like freakishly mature and professional. And then you find out they've been working in the industry longer than I have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, going to talk to them like children? And then they're like, okay, where's my mark? You know, I'm going 10-1. And you're like, what? So yeah, they've been around forever. But they're pros, but they're, you know, they have this like innocence to them that I found so interesting. They had never been to a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
They had never been drunk. You know, like mm-hmm. Ella Anderson, who's very inebriated at the end of the movie, had never been drunk in her life.
Right.
And so, they had never heard of a keg stand. And so I was like, as much as they were these pros, they also were very, you know, young too.
Yeah. And they were so excited to be, they also just fell in love with the script, with each other, with Laura. They were so happy to be there. So every day it was, you know, what can we bring? What can we do? What do you need from us? How can we help? And that was, I mean, that really was the spirit, obviously, mm-hmm. that tone was set by Laura. And they were just so wonderful. And this experience with them here has been amazing. And just so glad people are celebrating them in the film too.
Yeah. It's been fun to see at this Sundance in particular, these like ensemble younger casts shining. We had Molly Manning Walker from How to Have Sex come on. Of course, Dee Dee is getting a lot of buzz.
Yes.
So I'm sure there's a lot of like youth game, recognizing youth game and these coming of age stories. How does it feel to be like within this festival environment, like with this film in particular? Do you feel like you're connecting with other filmmakers who are kind of in the same genre type, or are you guys more kind of like insular with your team?
Well, I mean, we've been we've been doing press, you know, for I think, what is it now, 3 days. I've been sort of, I did pretty singularly doing press. I've done some panels. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten to meet some filmmakers. I went to the director's brunch and met some filmmakers. And so I haven't had a chance to watch films, you know, like I met the director of Exhibiting Forgiveness and Titus is an amazing artist. So I was very like, I did a panel with him and I was like, oh my God, there's Titus. I'm meeting him, you know, but he's like the he's so gentle and kind and everything he says is like something that you could like quote, you know, make a quote on it and frame it. He's like a genius. And so, yeah, I've gotten to meet. And then the director of DD was on this panel as well, who I met. And so, yeah, I just haven't had a chance to watch their films, which I really want to do. But no, I mean, I think everybody's very excited. I personally have removed the whole concept of competition from it. You know, I'm not, I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm just like, so.
Just camaraderie.
Just excited to
be
here.
They're so supportive of each other.
It's such a celebration of film. It's just a celebration of film in a way that I've never experienced before. I've never been here before, you know? Yeah. So I haven't ever experienced this kind of love of filmmaking and storytelling and the way people talk about it. The importance they give it, you know, coming from comedy television, if you were to say, this is really important what we're doing, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. You know, like, it is a cynical world. It is a comedy, you know. So here being in these rooms, people are like, this is important. We're, you know, change makers. We're telling stories. We're, you know, and it's you get swept up in it. And I'm like, yeah.
That's so cool. So I know we're tight on time, so I want to move to the question that we ask everyone who joins us on the No Film School podcast. We reach a lot of emerging filmmakers. I started listening 6 years ago when I was like leaving my corporate job and starting from square one. Like, how do I even get my start as a filmmaker? So what advice do you have for that person who is just getting their start? And I'd specifically love to hear as a producer, what advice you have for somebody who's looking to get in as a producer and then as a director, of course.
I mean, as a producer, I would say make movies with your friends and just start making stuff. And I think that you know, there are so many platforms and now that technology is more affordable. I would just say get together, try to form a group of friends, colleagues, if you're in school, if you're not, and write. And just start making stuff. Because I remember when I first produced something, I said, oh God, I'm not ready. And a friend of mine said, nobody is going to say, you're like, you just have to stand up and say, I'm a producer now and I'm going to produce something. And that's, I think, what I say to other producers and writer directors, like, just go out and start doing it.
Yeah. And this is coming from the producer who made the film Tangerine, which was shot on an iPhone.
That's right.
Which is sort of like—
Which premiered here.
Amazing.
Yes, which Such premiered here at circle. The library.
Incredible.
Right, which we premiered. So it was a...
But it really, that, I mean, that eliminates all excuses, right?
100%.
Like, I mean, you're like, I produced a film that was shot on an iPhone.
And it was like the iPhone 5. Like back in the dens, you know? So that's why, yes, exactly.
Awesome.
For $100,000, I think we made. So.
My gosh, advice. I mean, I guess I come at it more from writing, you know? Like I don't know how I would have directed anything if not, you know, I don't know if it wasn't my script. I don't know how someone would have been like, you can now direct.
Right.
I don't know the trajectory of that kind of director. But for me, it's writing. And my advice to writers is to write. And I know that sounds so simple, but I'm always shocked at the amount of writers who are very dejected in their careers and feel very stuck. And then their script is from 5 years ago and they're still working on it, you know, and they're still tweaking it. And I'm like, I think you need to write something else. I don't think that one worked out.
Yeah. You know, like, those reps
Going. Yeah. Keep getting those reps in, have people read it. When they tell you that it's bad and they give you a bunch of notes, cry hard and then move on, you know, and do another, just write something else, write something new, keep writing. Because I'm just always shocked at how many writers don't write. And I think when you do write, you do get better at it. And when you do listen to other people's feedback, as painful as it is, you do get better at it.
Right.
And I think, you know, you work at something for 10, 15 years, like it's going to someday work out, you know?
Yeah.
It's what I've found anyway. I found, you know, people that really write and keep writing and stay at it and take classes and read books and, you know, listen to podcasts and like all the things. Like, you do get better and it does get easier. But yeah, that's my...
Can I say one last thing about
Please.
Laura? I'm so sorry.
I love this.
I was just thinking, because you were talking about, you know, difficulties and things like that. And something that I think that she did so brilliantly that I saw over and over again at every stage in pre-production, in the notes process, in production and post-production was her incredible ability to be bombarded with ideas and pitches and many of them terrible, you know, mine included.
No.
And her ability to be able to take it all in and pick that kernel or that small thing and say, okay, that doesn't make sense, but here's blah, 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 or the note behind the note or the whatever it is. And so I saw her do that over and over and over again. And I just, you know, think it's
But I'll add to that my inner child was like, fuck them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Someone gives me a thought and I'm like, no, wrong. That's my first instinct, you know, because there's a little wounded ego in me. That's absolutely not. I'm never doing that, you know? And then, you just have to have the ability to go, I know you want to get straight A's and I know you want everyone to tell you you're a good girl, but there's probably some truth to what they're saying, you know? And going through that process and allow the initial reaction, not to their face, obviously, but allow the initial reaction, which is, no, I did everything right the first time. That's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Let that move through you. We're all human. And then trust that these people are saying this for a reason. There's something here. Maybe their note is exactly right. Maybe there's something else that will help them, but listen to them, you know, and it is a process.
But the thing that's so amazing as a first-time filmmaker where someone would feel could feel so underwater and lose their way and her ability to be like, there's so much happening. There's so much coming at me, but I just like, I'm able to keep forging. And as speaking to so many filmmakers, it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, Titus talked about it.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. So anyway. Just another thing.
Well, I also love earlier you mentioned about crying. We're normalizing crying in the film industry this week over Sundance. We've had multiple people say, and yes, and then I had this reaction or, you know, and I think that's really important. Like we have to feel and acknowledge our emotions and also process them.
Well, this is why the industry is toxic, right? This is why it's because people aren't doing that. You know, people are, they have so much rage pent up from childhood and then they get to work and someone says as a question and they unleash, you know?
Yeah.
So it to me, like, my true, true advice to anyone is go to therapy.
Yeah.
There's literally a whole section called self-help and all the books have gems in them. You know, learn how to be the best version of yourself so you can bring that to work and you can lead with the part of yourself that you like the most. You know, the wounded child is the part that you really want to leave at home. But if it's too wounded and it's never gotten a chance to express itself, it's going to flip out at work, you know?
Yeah.
So, my real advice to people is like, work on you, man, because everything will get better. Everything will get easier. Writing, directing, producing, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. And the perfect sort of alignment of that is like, you're telling a deeply personal story that is acknowledging your inner child. And that's so beautiful that you were able to do all that work to get to this point, to be such a strong leader on set and bring the film to life.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys enjoyed the film.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. We'll see you on the next one.
Yes.
Yay!
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Laura and Francesca, for joining us. The biggest takeaway for me is that Laura is going to be working forever because she is just a light and somebody you want to be around and somebody you want to be working with. I recommend going back and listening to our DP roundtable featuring Bruce Francis Cole, the DP of Suncoast, if you want to learn more about the production, the filters, et cetera. Of course, you can watch the film now and you can get more No Film School on our podcast. You can like, rate, and subscribe to it across all platforms. You can also get more No Film School, of course, on nofilmschool.com, where you'll find all of our Sundance coverage. And finally, you can follow us on social media at No Film School. Thank you for listening.